Welcome to Valley Church. It is nice to see you guys, especially all of you. What's up? Oh man, it's nice to see some of you guys. It's been a while. What a summer. I have been watching the Trailblazers and golf, and it's kind of weird watching playoff basketball in August. Wouldn't you say, Kevin?
I don't know. It's not like it.
Yeah. Whoa, do you have a microphone too? What's going on? Wow. There's a microphone inside his mask. That's ridiculous. Okay. Yes. Got some kids going on. It's amazing to see you all. I just want to pray, and we'll dive right into this, okay? Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Jesus. We just thank you that we have your word. We have your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just thank you that we have each other to encourage one another as we do our best to follow you and become more like you. We just pray that the Gospel of Matthew this evening would just allow us to know more about who you are and more about your kingdom. We love you. Pray all these things in your name. Amen. Okay. So if you haven't been with us before, we are going through the Gospel of Matthew, and we are just entering into chapter 8. We just finished up the Sermon on the Mount, and that was fantastic. But now we're starting a section where Matthew is going to start, or Jesus is going to start healing people. And today there's also a phrase here that used to confuse me quite a bit, so it was really cool reading all the commentaries and researching. But let's just jump right into it. It's in Matthew 8. If you have your Bibles, open them up. We're going to start in verse 1 and go to verse 4. So I'll read it right now. It says, "When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said. 'Be clean.' Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, 'See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift of Moses. Offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" So, verse 1, again, where he just finished the Sermon on the Mount, came down the mountain, said some crazy things. The last verse of chapter 7 says that he spoke with such authority no one had ever heard. So he was saying things and speaking with authority and talking about this kingdom of heaven, and it just blew people away. And people started to follow him down the mountainside going like, "Whoa, we want more. Show us more about this kingdom." And Jesus does right here in verse 2. And he starts with this man with leprosy. And I just want to focus in on this man because obviously this is a healing, but let's get a little better picture of who this man was and what life was like for him. So the word for leprosy here could have referred to a bunch of different skin diseases, but most likely it's a skin disease that we know today as Hansen's disease, just this terrible, terrible bacterial skin disease, and it messes with your nervous system. Fingers can fall off, toes can fall off, you get patches of skin that ooze, you know, all the good stuff in life. Blindness, paralysis, so many things as this disease progresses and takes over more and more of your body. And so back in Jesus's time, there was no cure. There was no known cure for this. And because of that, and because of how obviously horrifying it looked to see someone with these oozing sores, losing fingers and toes, and severe facial disfiguration, these people were quarantined. Sound kind of familiar, huh? So because of that, they were locked away, and told to stay far away from everyone else. And there was also laws surrounding this. So let's look at Leviticus 13 real quick. Yes, we can laugh at me for just like my wife and Greta does. Okay. Yeah, that's the actual pronunciation if you didn't know. So it says in Leviticus 13, 45 through 46, there it goes again. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkept, cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. So these people looked terrible, felt terrible, were unclean, and apparently twice to let people around them know that they were unclean. So not only that, but if they happened to touch someone else, that person would become unclean as well. And another chapter in Leviticus goes more in depth into all the skin defiling disease and how this actually is not just like a health thing, but it's also a sin thing. So when a person who touched someone with this disease, they would have to go before the priest, and there would have to be an offering to atone, not just because they touched that person with the health disease, but to cleanse them of the sin. So this is not just a health thing that these people were dealing with, but it was a sin issue as well. So, generally, these people kept to themselves and everyone stayed away from them. So I know that quarantine for some people has been especially tough, but this is very next level and very so difficult emotionally. And I just want you to imagine for a second what that might have felt like for them, being in this hopeless situation with this disease that there was no cure. Looking the way they did, oozing, fingerless, maybe even pretty faceless for the most part. All the depression and anxiety that comes with that, man, that's what these people were dealing with. So with all that in mind, this would have been very out of the ordinary for this person to be around a bunch of people, especially in a crowd. And Jesus was drawing larger and larger crowds. And maybe this leper heard about Jesus. And maybe he heard about like all the things that he was saying about this new kingdom of heaven, about that maybe this Jesus really was the Messiah. This guy was probably feeling hope for the first time and maybe like ever since he got the disease. And he goes before Jesus, kneels down, not just runs up to him, grabs him by the collar or something and shakes him. He kneels down in reverence before Jesus and he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So let's notice for a second how the man talks to Jesus. The way the man phrased this question implies that he knew Jesus could heal him. It implies, Jesus, I believe you can do this. Are you willing to? And not just, hey, heal my body, take away all this stuff, but no, clean, cleanse me. Leon Morris, a Bible scholar, says this request implied both in the man's condition and in his confidence in Jesus' power to heal. He does not speak of being cured, but of being cleansed. And this is normally the case. Leprosy was a terrible disease, but it was also a defiling disease. Those who had it were unclean. Being freed from leprosy was different from being freed from, say, paralysis. It was spoken of in terms of cleansing, not simply of cure. So this man didn't need to be healed only. He also needed to be cleansed and restored so that he could be a part of God's people again. And he knew that. This is stuff a lot of these people would have known back then because of the state of this disease and the sin that was associated with it. It's also important to note that this isn't like necessarily saying that he did something sinful, so God put this on him. This is part of the sin that is just of the world. We live in a fallen world, and this is associated with the fallen world full of sin. Verse 3, it says, basically Jesus' response. This guy went forward. What does Jesus say to all that? He doesn't say a lot, but what he does, I think, is also important. He reaches out and touches the man to heal him. That is so, so beautiful. Jesus could have healed him by saying, "You're healed," or, "Ah, healing complete." I don't know. He could have done it a million different ways, but I think he chose the most significant way to love the man in that moment. He reached out and touched him when other people would have been running from him. Jesus touched him and healed his body, but not just healed his body, he cleansed his soul as well. Man, just imagine like fingers popping back or nerves just growing back and healing. The skin, the patches of skin that are oozing and all disgusting, becoming normal, perfect, maybe better than they were before. The thing that defined this man is gone. So what does Jesus tell him to do now? He doesn't want him to tell anybody. That's so weird, especially in a culture that we live in today when everyone is all about like, "Hey, check out my Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. Follow for follow. We'll do that thing." Or like, "Yeah, make sure you check out my Facebook and like my page." All this recognition that we are so obsessed with, this is the part where I'm like, what? This doesn't make any sense. But when we look at the passage more and what Jesus is actually doing and what a lot of Bible scholars kind of agree on here is that this was not just a healing. Jesus didn't want to heal this person to have everyone else just be clamoring at him for healings, for miracles, and that type of thing. Michael J. Wilkins says this, "Although miracles will attest to the authenticity of his gospel message about the arrival of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus does not want crowds clamoring for the miracles alone. They may easily misunderstand his message to mean that he has come to effect only physical healing or to bring national and military liberation. He will guide his disciples and the crowds to understand that his primary mission is to bring forgiveness of sins, which brings true cleansing." So we know that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And I believe that part of this was following the law, but also part of this was about the Messiah following the laws of the Old Testament. That is so amazing to think that Jesus can be so like complex in such a simple situation here. But man, when we look at this quote again, forgiveness of sin is the true cleansing. Jesus came and lived a sinless life. It says in Isaiah that he bore our sicknesses and by his wounds we are healed. This is part of that. He bore our sicknesses, the things that are wrong in this world. He took those things on and then he went to the cross and he died so that not just health issues could be like taken care of, but our sin issue, which is the real issue. So easy to look at this passage and go, "Cool, miraculous healing. Wow, Jesus is amazing." But yes, Jesus did a miraculous healing, but it is more than just the healing. It is that he forgave this man of his sin. And he told this man to go before a priest and be cleansed. Like I said, there's like all these chapters in Leviticus about this. There's so many things that this priest had to do to make sure that this person would have been cleansed and able to go back into society now that they were healed of their disease. So, this healing is a sign that Jesus is the Messiah. Sin and death are going to be defeated. And this is amazing. But one of the things I want to encourage you today is don't just seek the signs. Don't just seek the healing. I know it's easy to go, man, I want a healing. But remember, Jesus is truly about forgiving people of sin. Don't seek the signs. Be cleansed by Jesus and love like Jesus. So one of the things that I think Jesus has for us in this passage today is that we need to be cleansed by Jesus. And that's easier said than done. But I want to, again, reflect on the way the man was, how Jesus loved this man. The man went to Jesus, not trying to hide anything. It was very obvious by the look of him, by the way he behaved, by everyone was treating him probably, that he had leprosy, that he was an outcast of society, but he went up to Jesus, fully known by everyone around him, especially by Jesus. And for a lot of us here today, maybe we are dealing with a sin issue. Maybe there is something in our life that we need to confess, maybe to a spouse, maybe to a friend, maybe to me or Michael, one of your pastors. But Jesus wants to heal us, cleanse us of sin. Maybe you do have a health problem too. Maybe you got something going on that is making life hard. Maybe it's not leprosy. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's high blood pressure and it's scaring you that you could have a heart attack. I don't know. There's so many health issues out here right now, and it's so difficult to live with stuff like that. Maybe financial issues, maybe relational stuff. But I feel like some of us need to approach Jesus tonight and ask to be cleansed. And I know for certain that if we go with an open heart and open hands, that we will be forgiven. We will be clean. And this next one, I wrote it originally as love like Jesus, and it just sounded so generic and cheesy. I don't like it. I'm sorry, Julia. I changed it. This last main point is inspired by my wife, actually. So if you can change it really fast, make it special. It sounds super cheesy, and maybe that's why I love it more. Make it special. So there's a little story with this. My mom got cancer, and she passed away, and I was leading a middle school youth group at the time, and it was rough. Life was rough. Everything just seemed hard. But my wife came up with this motto that she wanted to live life as a mom, because sometimes she was explaining it to me this way, because I don't know what it's like to be a mom exactly, but she was saying, sometimes it's easy to just go with the flow, get things done. It's like, oh, the kids are a little upset and crying. Let's just get food on the table. Let's just make sure they get their naps. Just, you know, dot our I's, cross our T's, but just make sure the job gets done. And she said, I want to make it special. I want things not just to get done, but I want to make things matter more. And I love that so much because it showed me this care and this love that I feel is reflected in this passage also, that Jesus didn't just heal the guy to get it done, to get a prophecy fulfilled. He got it done in the most significant and the most meaningful way that he could, that touched this man's life so profoundly. That is what I believe Jesus wants all of us to do. Not just get it done, but let's make it special. Let's make it meaningful. Let's love people in significant ways that don't just get it done, but compel people towards the kingdom of heaven, that bring Jesus to life for them. So let's make it special. And I feel like there are people in our lives right now that we can think of. Maybe you're a mom and that's your kids, and maybe you do need to make it special for your kids. Maybe it's your husband, your wife, that friend at work. I don't know. There's so many people that we might even bump into on the street that we could make it special for. It's easy to brush people off. We're in a rush. We're in a hurry. We got to get things done. But what if we decided to be like Jesus and make it special, to love them in the most significant and special way. So tonight, as the worship band comes back up and we spend some time singing some songs and worshiping the Lord, I want to focus on our hearts and our minds and dedicate those to Jesus right now, because I believe we're going to sing some songs that the Holy Spirit wants to use to speak to us. And maybe, again, it's confessing sin, receiving the love of Jesus, or maybe it's just flat out lifting our voices like Michael was talking about in that passage and singing out. So let me pray and let's worship the Lord.